Jonah chapter 2. I hope you'll look at your Bibles. Jonah 2 in the Word of God. And before we read the text today, I want us to consider, if you will, the context of this morning's message. Today, as you all know, is the first Sunday of May. And as always, it's really for me the month of May that reminds me of Thanksgiving. And the reason is that the end of May marks the halfway point in the year to Thanksgiving Day. Scott Harris always notices when I preach on Thanksgiving 6 months before we ever get there. And yes, part of that is so whenever we get to November the 26th, 2020, we don't just offer to God lip service, a once a year, you know, acknowledgement that God is good. It is that, but it is also a critical reminder that a grateful heart should never, ever be seasonal. Something, you know, for fall or Christmas. Something that we relegate, something that we reserve for things and times that are joyful or good or especially blessed. In fact, if anything, the true power and the true marvel and the true wonder of giving thanks and praise to God is something that's found in today's text about Jonah. I think everybody knows the story of Jonah here, right? Bitter, angry, running from God. Jonah was a prophet of God who tried to sail away from the presence of God and his will at Nineveh, which, of course, as a child of God, only put Jonah under God's chastisement. And so, the miracle, the Bible says, that God sent a great storm. The storm was not an accident, and he prepared a great fish. The fish was not an accident. And when despondent Jonah was thrown overboard and into the sea, that great fish swallowed the prophet of God. And now, Jonah is really down in the mouth. By the way, when the pagan sailors asked Jonah why he was running from God, you know what Jonah said, right? He said, Nineveh business. Actually, it was Nineveh business. Sweet little innocent girl was being mocked by her unbelieving teacher about Jonah. And how ridiculous to think that a fish could somehow swallow a man. And she said, how is that possible? And the little girl said, I don't know, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. And of course, the unbelieving teacher said, well, how do you know? What if Jonah doesn't go up to heaven? And the girl said, well, then you can ask him, right? Our Lord Jesus, of course, believed not only that Jonah was in the fish's belly for 3 days, but I'll remind you that he held it up as the singular Old Testament illustration of his own resurrection. And if you're wondering this morning what all of this has to do with gratitude, what it has to do with Thanksgiving, I want you to think about how low, and I want you to think about how horrible and dire and how impossible Jonah's situation was. There's a reason why our Lord Jesus used it as symbolic of death, a grave, a sepulcher. Look at verse 2. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I. In verses 3, 4, and 5, you'll notice he describes himself as, quote, cast from the presence of God. He's in the deep. Billows of waves are passing over him. Seaweed, he says, you'll see it right there, look at it, wrapped around his head. Darkness closed him in. Jonah really was in the lowest depths possible whilst yet still being able to be alive. Many of you, I am sure, have read Dr. Harry Rimmer's famous description of what Jonah may have looked like at this point. Being in the belly of a fish, he said he would have started the digestive processes and bleached his skin nearly white. He would have to, almost losing eyesight, squint when he came out. He would have lost every hair in his body, his skin elasticized, no eyebrows, no eyelids. He would have looked like an alien walking into the gates of Nineveh, so that it's no wonder his five-word sermon in Hebrew got their attention. The question is, does God now have Jonah's attention? And of course, judging by Jonah's testimony here in chapter 2, the answer is obviously yes. Verse 2 says, I cried by reason of mine affliction, and he heard me. Of course, God heard him. God always hears the cries of his people. No matter how deep you have sunk this morning, in your car or sitting there at home, no matter how dark or dank the place you find yourself in, God always hears your cry. And those in this parking lot this morning, you can hear my voice through frequency modulation. That's FM. FM transmitter, you know, it's pretty cool that that little device right over there on that table takes sound frequencies, amplifies them, sends them to your little car antenna, wherever it is, and then broadcasts it through your radio up to 500 feet. 106.5, 500 feet of smooth. You know what? In Jonah's case, he's in the depths of the sea, inside a fish. How many miles from Israel? Covered in seaweed and gunk and dark as pitch. And whatever little feeble cry he could muster in that place, God heard it loud and clear. And God hears you. However, if you want to know not what got Jonah's attention, but what really got God's attention, what in fact always gets God's attention, then here it is. In fact, you do realize that this is the moment, this is the thing why Jonah was delivered from those depths. Chapter 2 again, notice what it says in verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. The next verse says, verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited out of Jonah upon the dry land. Wait a minute, hear me carefully. Did Jonah just say the voice of thanksgiving? And furthermore, did he say, my sacrifice, my offering to God for all my folly and all my disobedience, my sacrifice right now here is thanksgiving? And did Jonah just offer his gratitude and praise to God, not in the temple, but from the depths, from Seaweed City? In other words, folks, note this carefully. Jonah isn't waiting until November when he's sipping on a pumpkin spice latte, listening to early Christmas music, or watching Moonlight and Mistletoe on the Hallmark Channel. Actually, honestly, the best Hallmark movie ever was Christmas Under Wraps, because it takes place in Garland, Alaska. The only garland Jonah had was wrapped around his neck, and it smelled awful. And yet this is the time, this is the place of his thanksgiving to God. And beloved, inasmuch as that is remarkable to us, it is to me, and inasmuch as it teaches us the powerful truth that gratitude and thanksgiving should be offered in the worst of circumstances, and that gratitude always gets the attention of God. You say, Pastor, you said that before. How do you know it gets his attention? Psalm 22:3 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. Why would Paul say to give thanks always for all things if God didn't hear it always? He does. And again, inasmuch as we think this is unheard of as a time and a place for thanksgiving, I want you to notice carefully that that is not the case in Scripture. Jonah is not the only child of God who was noted and delivered, I will say, when he was thankful to God in the worst of circumstances. We could give you many examples, but I want you to think of one for a moment. Think for a moment about Daniel in captivity. Taken from his own family in his youth, dragged away to a pagan land that not only destroyed his temple and his city, but killed many of his own people. And here he is in exile. He has a new king over him and a new leadership. Daniel is suddenly the target of his own deep state conspiracy, except instead of getting him fired or getting him jailed, these conspirators want him murdered and want him tortured. And so this new law forbidding him to pray. Here's what it says in Daniel 6 and verse 10. Just listen to it, would you? When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, shut the doors, pulled down the shades, and grabbed his shotgun. That's not what it says. That's what it says out here in the farms. Nor does it say, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he sunk down in his chair, put his head in his hands, and asked God why. Folks, look, Daniel could have easily, quickly gotten bitter, depressed, and angry, and wept his way into compromise and surrender. But this is what the text actually says. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks. Now, wait a minute. He gave thanks for what? In fact, the rest of the verse says, he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Well, folks, aforetime, he was also in captivity. Aforetime, he was constantly threatened with torture and with death. So that Daniel has never really had just a short season of gratitude. So here he is, just like Jonah, in the midst of a terrible, and in the midst of dark circumstances. And what is he doing, beloved? He's giving thanks to God. And just like Jonah, he's not waiting for November to be grateful. Look, I've always loved November. That brisk fall air that we're not going to feel when it comes in November, but it is the promise of cooler weather. And the crisp apples that people bring you from up north in the fall and family time and changing seasons. The end of hurricane season. By the way, hurricane season starts June the 1st. 1 month away, but it ends June the 30th. In November, November has always had a unique appeal for a lot of reasons. But the greatest reason by far is that November, why it's a favored season. It's Thanksgiving. And I don't just mean Thanksgiving as a day or as a holiday, but Thanksgiving as a general virtue. More people talk and contemplate their blessings, obviously. Just look at the memes on Facebook. Why can't there be a ton of memes this month on Facebook that talk about gratitude and giving thanks? You know, part of that in November is because on 11/11, Veterans Day. Veterans Day, every November the 11th, is when America at least stops to give thanks for our nation's soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen. It's just so encouraging and edifying and enlightening and ennobling when the people of God count their blessings, give praise and glory and thanks to the God of the harvest, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so, this man, this wonderful man, Daniel, the Bible says, was a man with an excellent spirit. Because you know what? Apparently for him, every month is November. Every day, as he did aforetime, three times a day, Thanksgiving in Babylon. It's an amazing and remarkable testimony that all of us would be convicted and instructed and encouraged by, inasmuch as Daniel, just like Jonah, gave thanks in the depths. In that chapter I read earlier, verse 4 says, the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Why? The next verse says that he would be cast into the den of lions. Not a den of lions, the den of lions. This den was reserved for the worst possible criminals. They wanted Daniel eaten and tortured and eaten alive. And one of the reasons is that they hated Daniel's God and they hated Daniel's Bible. And I know that because it says in verse 5 that they sought to find occasion against the law of his God. So that many years had passed, and after all those years and all he had endured, he's still a stranger in a strange land, but he's thankful. They themselves call him, after all these years, Daniel, not Belteshazzar. And in the midst of all of that, what is Daniel doing as a man cast out, just like Jonah? He is offering to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving in the depths of the sea, in the belly of a fish, in utter darkness, and far from where he's supposed to be. Jonah cries out, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. By the way, 6 months from Thanksgiving, let's not forget that when those Plymouth Pilgrims observed the very first Thanksgiving, that on that day, their harvest yielded only 20 acres of corn, only 6 acres of barley and peas. That's the wet prairie, the little property you see behind you that I'm looking at now, just a little tiny world. Their entire world was a few square miles surrounded by pathless wilderness. And 45 of the 102 Mayflower passengers died in the winter of 1620, almost half of them. It would take 28 years to erase their debt to those merchant adventurers. In other words, look, it wasn't the first Thanksgiving because the stock market was soaring. It wasn't the first Thanksgiving because it was VE Day or VJ Day. It wasn't the first Thanksgiving because they were kneeling in the end zone after scoring a touchdown. They were not expressing gratitude to God on a mountain, beloved, or in a gym in top physical condition or with government checks in their hands. Thanksgiving was instituted in their own fish's belly at a time and a place where most people only look up to receive, not to offer the sacrifice of praise, but they did. And let me just say this, by the grace of God, and we'll close. In 6 months, it will be Thanksgiving. It will be the end of hurricane season, for whatever that brings. It will most certainly be after this season of distancing. And most likely, we will see all of this that we're looking at right now in a parking lot as a memory as we meet inside the buildings behind me on Thanksgiving Day. 6 months from the end of May, everyday life will be far, far different from what it is today. Wouldn't it be a good thing? Wouldn't it be a glorious memory if we look back to this season and if we can look back to this place and remember that even then, even in the month of May, we were offering to God the sacrifices of praise. Grateful. You say, Pastor, grateful for what? How about the last line just before God delivers Jonah from the depths? You see the last line of verse 9? Salvation is of the Lord. Amen to that. That's why we say, are you glad that you're saved? Because you should be glad. Because salvation trumps any and all depths that we will ever find ourselves and will do so for all of eternity. Just before I got up to introduce the announcements, I was looking at these scriptures, and the Lord just directed my heart and mind to something I hadn't seen in all the hours of study up until now, this very moment. It says in chapter 2 and verse 4, look at it. Jonah says, I am cast out from thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Do you know what I see in that? Number one, I see that he didn't have to be in the building to pray and be heard by God. He didn't have to be in the building, the temple in Jerusalem, to cry out and be heard or to offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. He didn't have to. And I thank God for that promise. Where two or more are gathered together in my name. But I also see in the promise what he was looking forward to. The promise. He says, I'm cast a long way away from where I want to be, but yet I will. I will. Again, look toward thy holy temple. And we believe and trust that once again, the Lord will bring his people together in full fellowship. Yes, but until that day, look, we have every reason to be grateful, thankful, and to offer to God, not just to go to God to ask, but offer to God a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And all of God's people said, amen. If you're here today or if you're listening now and you don't understand that salvation is of the Lord, salvation is not of good works. Salvation is not of church membership. Salvation is not of being good to your neighbor, being better than the other guy, because he's a sinner too. Salvation is of the Lord. It's why the Lord sent his son to die for your sins, because we're all sinners and have come short of the glory of God. And if you're here today or listening now and you've not accepted his son, Jesus Christ, salvation is of him. Today is a day of salvation. And you open your heart in prayer and ask the Lord Jesus to save you where you are right now at this moment. For the rest of us, let's leave this place today with thanksgiving on our lips. If Jonah could offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving where he was, in the depths, in the worst possible circumstance, what Jesus called a grave, if Jonah could do that then, if Daniel could do it where he was after all those years, we can do it here and now. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. So very grateful for your mercies that are new every morning, whether the mercies come in the morning of an epidemic or the mercies come in the mornings of November. They are still new every morning, and we are grateful. And I pray, Father, that we will look back. If Jesus tarries in November and look back and say, you know, we can thank the Lord that we were thankful and grateful to you and that you delivered, because we recognize how good you are, even in these days in which we're living, because you are worthy of that praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.